John Schumann. We promised you John Schumann. We shall deliver. Staff writer for NBA.com joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Good morning, John.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
Going well. I'm reading your piece, and I'm trying to figure out how the hell the Raptors won. Not really. I mean,
it was a fascinating game, and just that whole sequence of events in the fourth quarter where Cleveland just kept running the same play and the Raptors couldn't stop it was amazing. And then they stopped it once and Cleveland stopped going to it, and they scored once in their last nine times with the ball, and the Raptors escaped and we have a series.
How much of this series do you think comes down to coaching? You've got obviously a transcendent player in LeBron James. You've got some good players in the Raptors. You've got a coach in Dwayne Casey who, you know, a lot of people in this city, frankly, spend a great deal of time, you know, picking apart. And that's going to be the case until he actually wins something in this city. And in Tyronn Lue, of course, you've got the guy who replaced David Blatt. Are you getting any read in these two coaches so far through four games? In particular, the Cavaliers coach.
I mean, I think it's more about the players than the coaches. Honestly, I think, mm-hmm. I don't think Tyronn Lue can turn Kevin Love into a great defender, can turn, Tristan Thompson into a rim protector. Those guys are getting picked on defensively. The Raptors basically driving to the basket with no fear. Hassan Whiteside was a long time ago, basically, in regard to what the Raptors are doing offensively. I think coaching can definitely get the best out of players. I think there's some ways both teams can play better going forward. I think honestly, it's up to the players, and LeBron James is sort of aggressiveness going forward, Kevin Love's ability to make some shots, and Cleveland's ability to just be better defensively, and the Raptors' ability to defend as well as they did in games 3 and 4.
John, if you were looking aside from the locale, what is the fundamental difference between those first two games when Cleveland blew the doors off the Raptors and the second two games when the Raptors were beyond competitive when they won, and then even in the second game they had a big lead and kind of played back a little bit but pulled off the game? When you talk about kind of the matchup issues, the issues that you have with guys like Kevin Love in terms of defense, the issues that the deficit the Cavaliers have under the basket, but what changed so dramatically between 1 and 2 and 3 and 4?
Well, I think the bigger change was on the Raptors' end of the floor. I think they were definitely – they executed better. Setting better screens allows them to execute their game plan better offensively and pick on the defenders they want to pick on. If they're trying to get Kevin Love, defending one of their guards, that screen that Patrick Patterson sets is so important to getting that done. And so they executed better offensively. That allowed them to attack the basket a little better, pick on the defenders they wanted to, whether it be Love or Tristan Thompson or J.R. Smith on that switch against Lowry late in game 4. But I also think Toronto executed their game plan better defensively, too. Their rotations were a little bit better. They were just a little bit more organized, especially on the weak side when they're, sort of leaning towards LeBron, but trying to also stay at home on the shooters. So they did a better job on both ends of the floor of just executing and playing better. I think as the series has gone on, they've known their game plan. They've just done it better. They've seen these plays before, and they've adjusted and they've dealt with them in a sharper fashion.
John, I got the sense listening to Tyronn Lue in his media session yesterday, especially when he talked about essentially trying to boil down the series to, or not boil down the series, but to boil down the game to kind of a matchup of individuals as well as teams. He talked about how DeRozan and Kyle Lowry had kind of elevated this game. I almost got the sense that in some ways he was pointing the finger a little bit at Kyrie Irving. As we said, I'm not entirely certain LeBron can do anything more than LeBron didn't. Kevin Love, I don't know, maybe could be hurt. Kyrie Irving's had kind of he's had kind of an interesting series, hasn't he? Because he's gone. Certainly, the games in Toronto, I thought there were times where he just went missing, and it's hard for Kyrie Irving, even with LeBron James, it's hard for Kyrie Irving to go missing.
Yeah, there was a stretch in Game Four where he got hot, and they just sort of gave him the ball. Even with LeBron on the floor, they just sort of gave him the ball, possession after possession, and tried to let him go one on one. But that kind of offense is, you know, it's not getting other people involved, and when he cools off, then everybody else is now and hasn't touched the ball in a while. You know, he had a big game too.
Yes.
But it was the same kind of thing. You know, it was a lot of one-on-one stuff and stuff that maybe the Raptors are okay with seeing him do. If he's going to play one-on-one, not get other guys involved and shoot pull-up mid-range jumpers, I think they're okay with that. They just want to contest those as best they can, which I think they didn't do as well in game one and two as they did in game three and four.
John, what do you anticipate tonight? This is a series that has surprised people, and you know many people willing to bet their lives after the first two games that Cleveland, you know, would be hard pressed to lose a game in this series. Now it looks very, very competitive. What do you prognosticate? Go ahead.
Man. I after these playoffs, after seeing what Oklahoma City did last night, the Raptors have done the last couple of games, I have a hard time predicting what's going to happen. I think it should be definitely closer than it was in the first two games. I think the Raptors found some things that work for them that they can avoid the kind of blowouts they had in games one and two. I think Cleveland will be better. But yeah, I think it depends a lot on Kevin Love, I think is such a big factor in this series because he's so talented and will get some good shots playing off of LeBron James. But if he's not making them, if he's sort of lost some confidence or anything, you know, this is still the biggest stage he's ever played on. So, you know, it could come down to him and his ability to make some shots, make some plays, and take advantage of the attention, obviously, that the Raptors are going to pay to LeBron James.
Now, you mentioned Oklahoma City. They are up 3-1 against Golden State. Golden State looked to me like they were in fumes. And when Oklahoma City went in that run in the second quarter, I mean, it was almost like roadkill. Watching Steph Curry last night, you really get the sense that this is a guy who's not near to 100%, don't you? Because he made a couple of very un-Steph Curry-like decisions, I thought, in that second quarter at the offensive end of the court.
Yeah, Steve Kerr said he's not hurt, but it's hard to believe that just because you've never seen him play so poorly, or with little confidence offensively. You know, taking shots, driving to the basket with just not the same explosion. You know, one of the things that he's improved upon so much over the last few years is his ability to finish at the rim, and he wasn't able to do that at all. You know, jumpers come and go, but you know, his ability to finish in traffic was bad last night. You know, so it's hard to believe that there's not something wrong or he's not fully recovered from the knee injury that he suffered earlier in the playoffs. But still, it's pretty stunning to see Golden State play so poorly. And give credit to Oklahoma City. They're playing their best basketball of the year at absolutely the right time.